Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, and those who attend this service through GCN and on the internet, there are time differences in countries. We welcome the Saturday. But some other countries, are in the middle of Friday or welcoming. I mean, they already started the Saturday, right? Brothers and sisters, did you have a good dinner with your family? Do you have a plan for Saturday and Sunday? Or trip plan? It was a beautiful Friday night, right? Did you have a good dinner and enjoy a cup of coffee and a beautiful cafe with full stories of your past week? Did you do that? Well, you may want to see a movie to remove all the stress that you got. I'm talking about a happy stuff, right? But you laughed at me. You are not agreeing with me, right? Well, that's true because you have nothing to do with what just I said. Well, if you search the internet, you can find the people are looking for the nice cuisine on their blogs or about trip and accommodation and food, right? Brothers and sisters, King Solomon, who had the great wisdom and great wealth, said in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, I explored with my mind how to stimulate my body with wine while my mind was guiding me wisely, and how to take hold of folly until I could see what good there is for the sons of man to do under heaven the few years of their lives. I enlarged my works. I built houses for myself. I planted vineyards for myself. Well, it's not easy for a man to do whatever he wants to do, not even in a dream. But King Solomon used his wisdom to enjoy his life, to get what he wanted to get, right? That's what he just said. Which means, he did everything for the pleasure in his life. Now, was he a happy man? Happy king? Well, Solomon gave us that answer for that. In 2 verse 11 of Ecclesiastes, what if he didn't give us the answer? We might not know whether he was happy or not. But he said so. Let me read it for you. Thus, I considered all my activities which my hands had done and the labor which I had exerted. And behold, all was vanity and striving after wind, and there was no profit under the sun. Which means he did everything with his best to enjoy his life, but everything was vanity under the sun. People of these days spend their time and invest their time and energy to enjoy their lives. But how many can you find who can confess that they truly lived a worthy life? When I led the Friday second half of the service, we met in the sister Sajie, right? While during the conversation, we received much grace, right? She was a young student when she came to this church at the age of 17, I guess. And when she listened to senior pastor's messages, she came to have a very firm goal for her life. And she wondered, what she had to do for true value, for her life with true value. And she grew up like that. And she became a young man, and she prayed while studying and growing up. And then she prayed to God, and Father God has led her way. We could see that, right? So we heard her testimony, and she glorified God with her testimony. A couple of days ago, I led the second half of Friday service, right? And they were a husband and wife. They got birthday party. And then they didn't come to Daniel prayer meeting. And then they had a dine out at night. Because it was their birthday, right? But you know, they came to me and said, I had the good time, you know. We dined out. But, you know, somehow I was not happy. We got a good dinner at the beautiful cuisine. And then there were people who were drunken, you know, yelling and making noises. Even, you know, speaking, you know, bad languages. And so when I saw them, you know, I didn't feel good. So after dinner, we went to Cheonggyecheon area in the city of Seoul. We had a beautiful conversation. And then we sat down by the bank of Cheonggye River. And then we turned on the smartphone and then watched in the GCN in the giving. We attended Daniel prayer meeting. And they saw me, you know, how I led the Daniel prayer meeting. And then they came back home. Our members, you don't know how to play, right? Because whenever you got time, you come to church and pray, right? Even though you enjoyed your life, it was, you know, 10, 20, 30 years ago. So you forgot. So Daniel prayer meeting is the answer, I would say. That's what you gotta do. We don't have any, you know, day off for Daniel prayer meeting except some, you know, national holidays. Right after we started this church, even though we had the, in the national holiday, we didn't have day off. But during the regular day, we had not had a day off. Mrs. Wong Lin Lee somehow, you know, gave us in a day off. It was June 6th, right? The Memorial Day. No. So, you know, members in prayer center had a day off. But the next day, you know, I had to lead the second half of Friday night service, so I couldn't have a day off. You know, I came to church and, you know, prepared myself. And I got a call. And he said he wanted to have a dinner with our mom. So we had a dinner together. Since, you know, it was Memorial Day, so it was a national holiday, but it's not, you know, widely accepted national holiday. So anyway, we could see in that restaurant that, you know, there were some families, you know, who were enjoying themselves having dinner. So on our, of course, we had a beautiful dinner. On our way home, I thought to myself that AME members are truly giving their precious time to God, because they give their time to God using Daniel prayer meeting. That's what I thought back then. After work, regular people enjoy themselves, right? For their hobby or for exercise. You know, they go to the fitness center, or they just look for something they can enjoy themselves, right? Or, you know, they can have beautiful time with their family. Or, you know, they will meet, you know, their loved ones, and then they go out. Or, you know, they learn something to develop their, you know, skills. However, MAME members come to Daniel prayer meeting and invest the time. Of course, there are some people who got drunk, you know, who use that time for their lust. But what people do use that time for what they like. But MAME members invest the time to give it to Father God, not only for 5 or 10 years, but by the lead of Mrs. Bong Lim Lee, we have given it to God for 37 years. Since we gave that precious time to Father God, how Father God would not give us blessing? how he would not lead us to heaven in New Jerusalem. That's what I thought. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you come to this church and sitting on a very, you know, hard wooden pew, right? Because you have hope for heaven and joy of salvation. And especially, you have hope for New Jerusalem, the best place in heaven. With that hope, we could run this race, driving on a narrow way. To go to New Jerusalem, we have to cast off every form of evil. We got to accomplish the whole of the heart of all spirit. But it's not easy. That's what we feel during this time of blessing. To become the beautiful fruit of New Jerusalem, we have to find our evil through refinements, like in the Job's. And we have to break our self-righteousness just as Apostle Paul did. We should be able to give our life just like Apostle Peter. Just like Moses, even though he was a queen's son, he lived his life for Father God and for his people. That way we can become the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the New Jerusalem. However, who among us can say we've been through that kind of refinement? Brothers and sisters, there is no change in truth. To receive answers and blessings and to give glory to God, we have to feel some extent of justice. I think since the start of this church, this is the most blessed moment. 1 Peter 4, verses 12 and 13 says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of His glory you may rejoice with exultation." There is a training center for those athletes selected by this country. And I was told that their training in that place is far exceeding our imagination. Sometimes we call it, training in hell, right? It is so hard. Sometimes, they have to get faint and become unconscious after hard training. Well, they got trained like that. Why am I receiving this kind of training? Do you think that they ask themselves like this? I don't think so. Why? Because they have a clear goal of gold medal in Olympic Games. They know they have to go through that hard training for that goal. So they don't take it strange to receive that hard training. They may say it's quite difficult. However, they don't wonder why they have to get that kind of hard training. However, if you are going to compete, well, I'm not sure whether you have a field games in elementary school. Back when we were in elementary school students, we had the field games in spring and fall. I believe it happened during the fall season. It was beautiful moments, right? And then probably many of you became the member or athletes of that field games. You were a runner or a lifter. Did you receive training for that? However, no? Didn't you run around your neighbor? For that field games, very simple games, did you receive that hard training which national athletes receive? Well, it's too much, isn't it? You may say, why should I receive this kind of hard training for field games in my school? you may wonder, and you may not like it, and you may give it up later. Right? Why? Because your goal is not Olympic Games. You're running for field games among your friends. So you just want to run without hard training. You may win in the gold medals. Well, I used to win many gold medals, you know, when I was a kid. And then I received in a kind of, you know, few, you know, notebooks as rewards. I remember that. However, I didn't receive, you know, any training for that. Like the hard training for, you know, national athletes. However, we having a goal of, you know, New Jerusalem. So don't you think you need hard training? Therefore, those who won gold medals don't regret, you know, when they stand on the platform that they just cry. They forgot their hard trainings. But those who don't need to receive that in the gold medal would not receive hard training, right? Well, even though I won gold medals in field games in my elementary school, I didn't cry. However, once we go to New Jerusalem, we will be thrilled and probably we will cry. That's what Senior Pastor told us. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I hope you believe all the refinements given to you are not weird, but in the profound providence and plan of Father God. Senior Pastor promised that he would like to drag us to the New Jerusalem. And to keep this promise, Senior Pastor is accomplishing the providence of Father God only through his obedience. So what is the justice that we have to feel at this time? It is to believe God the Father's providence toward this church in this end time until the very last moment. And we gotta trust our senior pastor as our shepherd and obey it in the truth and win victory every day. Hebrews 11:19 says, He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which He also received them back as a type. Father God promised that, you know, He would give him, you know, blessings through His son Isaac. But, you know, He told him to give Isaac as a burnt offering. However, Abraham didn't change his faith. He just kept, he trusted Father God's promise and obeyed. This kind of faith is what Father God wants from us. Father God loves Manmin. And He gives order to Senior Pastor, and He made a promise through Him with us. Go to the world, accomplish the world mission, save countless souls, and fill it, fill New Jerusalem with these people. And Father God will be glorified forever through Manmin. Would Father God break that promise? Well, our Father God has never broken His promise with Abraham. Through the refinement, Abraham received a token. And he was called the father of forefathers of faith and friend of God. You know, becoming a friend of God is such a glory, right? Think about this. You and I become friends and share everything, even in this world and also in the Lord. If we can share everything, then we can be very happy, right? Through this moment of blessing, well, for the last 20, 30 years, I shared in the love and we trusted each other. We said so. Among them, some. Well, if this kind of man, I can share my love and I can respect, and then he can become great help to Senior Pastor and to this church. You know, he's the one. Well, there were people that I had great expectation for among such people. Some changed their mind and they left the church. As I saw them, I didn't feel good about them. How can I express my heart? Well, I was kind of feeling, you know, weird what's happening. And then some people say, you know, they're scared, right? So, but I felt the heart, you know. I mean, I felt my heart something strange. We called each other, you know, friends, and they left this church. But think about it, even in this moment of blessing, no matter what kind of hardship we go through, then, but we share everything together. How happy we must be. What about our God? He is so faithful, He is perfect, He is holy, He is full of love. Such a good Father God. He didn't have a friend. Angels cannot become His friends. Nobody could become His friend. However, to Him, there was a friend. I mean, actually quite many. Enoch, Moses, Abraham, Elijah. You know, they were born, and Father God was so pleased with them. Through this moment of blessing, I believe you and I can become such, you know, friends to God. So Father God was so pleased with them. The man with trust, love, faith, Father God is searching for such people. And Father God was so pleased with Abraham. Father God was pleased with one Abraham because of his faith. Now, if we pass through this in a refinement and show our trust and true love before Father God, we can expect how much Father God will be pleased with us and what kind of blessing and glory we will receive from Him. So, such trust, faith, with that, you know, we gotta win victory. Well, do you know the game? OX? Right or wrong? There was a question. If you think it, if it is the right question, it is the right answer, then you go to the O side. If you think it is wrong, you go to the X side. Then if the answer is wrong, then those who stand on the X side would win the game, right? Now, I believe you played this game before. There was a question and there was an answer was provided. If you know the answer, then you may be very clear where which side you should stand. However, you don't know it. Well, I think this... Well, maybe that answer is right. No, that's not right. There is no in-between. You have to make choice clearly, either X or O. You gotta use your wisdom fully. Especially, you know, usually you have to go to the side where there are more people, right? So I had that experience before. But in a spiritual sense, you shouldn't do that. You gotta know the answer. Then you gotta find where you have to stand. You gotta have firm faith and find a place where you have to stand. Let's play a game. I will give you a question. And if you say O, choose O. If it is X, then say X. Manmin Church started July 25th, 1982. If it is O, raise your hand. If you think it is not, raise your hand. Nobody? Well, congratulations. You got it correct. We started church in July 25th. Second question. New Jerusalem's wall. And there are 12 foundation stones, pillars. I'm talking about 12 right foundation stones, okay? Now, each stone has the name of the tribe of 12 tribes of Israel. Raise your hand, X. There is no in-between, okay? It's not right? It's not? The answer? Well, you may find the answer in my message. Let me ask you another question. You know crystal, right? Crystal is one of 12 foundation stones. Raise your hand if it is right. If it is not, raise your hand. Well, let me tell you the answer. Crystal is not one of 12 foundation stones. It's not.
Okay?
The message is about 12 stones, okay? This game of OX, in this moment of blessing, we gotta find whether it is X or O. Why Father God is refining this church? What kind of blessing Father God wants to give us? We gotta realize and understand. And what kind of fruit we will become throughout this moment of blessing. We gotta believe it. And we have to stand where we have to stand. That kind of faith, you gotta surely have it. But if you don't have it, if you just stand in between and follow those many people go, well, that's not what you should do. You gotta clearly know where you have to stand. I hope that you can have that clear answer and find where you have to stand and go through this moment of blessing. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the title of this message is The Fruit of Glory. I'll preach the message concerning Senior Pastor's sermons about 12 in the foundation stones of New Jerusalem. You may wonder, after this message, well, let me give you the answer for all those questions, okay? I told you that there are 12 tribes named on the 12 foundation stones, right? There are 12 disciples' names are on it. So what about 12 tribes? Their names are written on the gates of New Jerusalem. Only those selected people can go through that gate, okay? So don't think about it, okay? It will be repeated in this message. Senior Pastor said, these and each and every stones are key to New Jerusalem. You and I have been in this in a refinement to receive God's glory. Now, we wish for this glory. Through this message, I hope that your heart is full of hope for New Jerusalem. And win the victory throughout this moment of blessing. I hope you can come out as the glory of sun, glory of moon, glory of stars, and enjoy the glory together with Father God and the Lord. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. You come to Friday all-night service without sleeping. What is your wish? Wish that you and I have is New Jerusalem. And that is the wish and hope for New Jerusalem. I mean, hope for Senior Pastor. Our beloved Senior Pastor delivered messages about heaven for 59 sessions. And especially, he used 17 sessions to explain New Jerusalem. So I'll explain briefly about Apostle John's vision about New Jerusalem. Then I'll tell you about the key to New Jerusalem, the city wall, and its 12 foundation stones. Revelation 21:11 says, having the glory of God, her brilliance was like a very costly stone, as a stone of crystal clear jasper. The astronauts, when they see, Earth from the space, they are marveled at the beauty of the Earth, as you can see on screen. It's so beautiful, isn't it? It's like a blue globe. You should feel God the Creator by looking at that Earth, all those stars and the moons and the Earth, countless stars. Now, you know, people can observe those in the stars, not all of them, but in all, not a single star among them is as beautiful as this earth. By this fact alone, you see how beautifully Father God created earth and us. New Jerusalem Apostle John saw New Jerusalem like this. The glory of God came out from New Jerusalem means the light from the New Jerusalem is so splendid and majestic. Senior Pastor said that when we go to New Jerusalem, our jaw will drop in because that city would be much more beautiful and much more magnificent. Apostle John was so perplexed at the beauty and the glory of the New Jerusalem. And he said, her brilliance was like a very costly stone, as a stone of crystal clear jasper. That New Jerusalem was compared to crystal clear jasper because it was so clean, bluish light. That the city wall is made of jasper. But that jasper is so completely different from jasper of this world. It is so clear, it's very transparent with the bluish color. We cannot compare it with any kind of color of this earth. However, when you think of the reflected light on the surface of the water, along with the bluish light, that's the color of jasper. You know, the entire city of New Jerusalem is surrounded by this beautiful bluish light of New Jasper, which means Father God is spotless, clear, clean, pure, honest, and righteous. Well, crystal is very clear stone too, used as an ornament, and then even the crystal of this earth reflects the light with the rainbows, right? Now, those gems, jewels of heaven are much more beautiful than gems of this earth. So that's why Apostle John compared the beauty of the city of New Jerusalem with the crystal clear jasper. Let me tell you about the size of New Jerusalem. And New Jerusalem is surrounded by crystal clear jasper. And New Jerusalem is different from the third heavenly kingdom. You know third heavenly kingdom, right? Right? What about New Jerusalem? New Jerusalem and the third heavenly kingdom, they are on the same level. Okay? However, New Jerusalem is separated from other third heavenly kingdom. So Revelation 21 verse 16 says, the city is laid out as a square, and its length is as great as the width. And he measured the city with the rod, 1,500 miles. Its length and width and height are equal. The height, width, and length are all 1,500 miles, which is like 2,400 kilometers. When we convert it to Korean measurement, it is same as 6,000 ri. Okay? Which means New Jerusalem is 6,000 ri high, 6,000 ri long, and 6,000 ri wide. Okay? Which means New Jerusalem contains the best fruit throughout the 6,000 years of human cultivation. Now, Revelation 21:17 says, he measured its wall 72 yards according to human measurements, which are also angelic measurements. So the wall of New Jerusalem is 72 yards thick. So you can see a New Jerusalem is look like a cube, okay? I briefly tell you about the look of the New Jerusalem. Senior pastor said it is well written in New Jerusalem. But we couldn't see how, you know, New Jerusalem is look like. So, but he explained it to us so that we could have very clear spiritual eyes open. We can find the explanation of New Jerusalem in the Bible. But before I heard about New Jerusalem in his message, well, when I came to the church, I was 16 or 17, I guess. But before then, I was a Christian in another church. But nobody told me about New Jerusalem. But senior pastor, I mean, Christians from other churches don't know about New Jerusalem. So when we talk about New Jerusalem, what do they say? Where can you find New Jerusalem in the Bible? Even though it is in the Bible. Very clearly in detail. They don't have spiritual eyes to read the Bible. And they just thought this, it is just the part of heaven. Nobody taught them, so they didn't know. However, we learned from senior pastor. And we saw it with spiritual eyes open about New Jerusalem. We heard them. We heard about them. We learned about them. We cannot go there unless we know about it. We cannot follow people to go to New Jerusalem, okay? Some people say, you know, they follow their friends to go to some beautiful place. However, New Jerusalem is not such a place. You gotta know about it, and you gotta work for it. So without knowing it, how can you make an effort to go there? Now, we now have great hope for this New Jerusalem. So let me tell you about keys to New Jerusalem. Let me tell you about the first key from the wall of New Jerusalem. And we're going to find keys among 12, you know, gemstones of New Jerusalem. As I was preparing for this message, I could feel how happy senior pastor was. Senior pastor once said like this, "Your brothers and sisters in Christ, let me tell you about the meanings that are contained in the wall and the foundation stones of New Jerusalem. You may play a hide-and-seek game, but make it yours once you find them. And I pray in the name of the Lord that you may go into New Jerusalem with confidence." That's what he said. You got to open the gate with your key. Without a key, if you try to open it, you are either... Well, can you guess? You're the master. You don't enter there. Or you're a thief. Right? A thief doesn't have a key. The master would have, the owner of that city would have a master key, right? So anyway, either you might have, you will be a master or the owner of the thief. So anyway, senior pastor told us to go and enter New Jerusalem with confidence. However, senior pastor himself found those keys and explained them to us and put it on our hands. We played this game in hide and seek or treasure hunting. There were kids, you know, who were good at it, but some friends were not good at it. Well, I was one of them who couldn't find those in the treasures. When we couldn't find those treasures, you know, they were, you know, teachers who found them and gave it to us.
They were good teachers like that. Well, we love such teachers. Now, check yourself how many keys you got. Senior pastor told you to find them, but he actually found them himself and gave them to us. Now, how many you got now? Whether you lost them or you kept them all, or you put them in some other place. We used to have, you know, packs of, you know, keys, but you don't carry them nowadays. About 10 years ago or 20 years ago, men members used to carry, you know, keys for a car, a key for a car, and a key for apartment, key for your locker room, or your, you know, drawers of your desk. You carry them by the by your waist, right? Or carry it in your pocket. You got so many keys in your pocket. However, you don't do so any longer because now you got, you know, the digital, you know, door locks. So you don't need to carry, you know, keys. Well, if you lost those keys, what happens to you? What happened to you? You know, you have to call, you know, service to make a key, right? Well, when parents give their treasure to their children, they'll be so happy. You know, that's what senior pastor had when he delivered this message. I hope that you remember that love of senior pastor and put it in your heart again. And I hope that you can win during this moment of blessing. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the first key is in the wall of New Jerusalem. Verse 18 of tonight's scripture said that the city wall is surrounded by crystal clear jasper. Well, we usually, you know, use bricks to build wall. However, the wall of New Jerusalem is made of jasper. Okay? You know, the 1,500 miles high, wide, and long. And jasper is different from, you know, jasper of this world. You know, the jasper of this world is not transparent, and they have many different colors. And show those in the pictures to us. And we came to have, you know, hope for New Jerusalem while listening to his message. I hope that you find that hope again and remember it as you listen to this message. Well, jaspers are quite, you know, cheap compared to other, you know, jewels, and they may break. However, jasper in heaven cannot change the color. It has the white, bluish, and very clear and transparent. I told you that it's like bluish light reflected from the surface of clean water. Why did Father God choose jasper as a material for the wall of New Jerusalem? Because this jasper represents faith in a spiritual sense. Faith is mandatory in your Christian life. It's a must as for Christians. Without faith, you cannot be saved. You cannot receive answer. Only by faith, you can please Father God. In the providence of Father God, this church is started only by faith. Only by faith, something was created from nothing until this far. Only by faith, Father God has promised everything, and we will accomplish them all. Brothers and sisters, to enter New Jerusalem, we should have faith that pleases God, which means we have to reach the fifth level of faith. As we pile up bricks to make a big wall, we have to build faith with deeds and truth. As for fifth level of faith, please refer to senior pastor's message, okay? As you go through this moment of blessing, listen to his sermon tapes or books, The Measure of Faith, and check the current status of your faith. But you got to have heart of spirit and whole spirit. And you got to have a burning heart for Measure of Faith. The heart of spirit, heart of whole spirit, we got to accomplish it. Throughout this time, check your heart, what kind of heart you got, whether it is a heart of spirit or not. Senior pastor told us that the Word of God is the standard to check your faith. If you refer to this Word, even if you don't receive the measure of faith, you can check what kind of measure of faith you got. Every day you gotta die. You gotta cast off sin to the point of shedding blood. That's what you gotta do. As I came to Manmin Prayer Center, I look at Mrs. Bonin Lee. Especially, you know, when she, you know, leads the Daniel Prayer Meeting, I listen to her, right? And since I work in Manmin Prayer Center, I listen to her every day. And I examined her. Her message is mainly about how she changed, how she died. And she longed for more change. One day, early in the morning, she said like this, "Brothers and sisters, yesterday I had this experience. Was such an incident." And she said, she wants to be moderate and honest and humble. And she found something that she needs to fix in a just ordinary time. And then I was so ashamed of it, that's what she said. She expressed it. And to get rid of it, to cast it off, you know, I prayed for it. For the last week, I prayed to cast it off. And I changed myself like this, she confessed. That's what she is saying almost every day. You and I should change like she did. Toward the Spirit and the Holy Spirit, we gotta run. You have to, you know, tear down your heart. Pray earnestly. Just like in the Mrs. Bonin Lee prays with the burning heart. The wall of New Jerusalem is made of the jasper. And by the glory of lights of God, you know, it is so, you know, transparent and beautiful light. And it has a beautiful, you know, decorations. However, it is transparent from outside the city wall. You cannot see inside New Jerusalem. Even though it is, you know, 1,500 miles high, you don't feel it's somewhat, you know, stuffy inside that city. However, inside the city, you feel like there is no wall because you can see outside clearly. But from outside, they cannot see inside New Jerusalem. Nowadays, we got, you know, glasses for our cars. You can see outside from inside the car, but people outside the car cannot see inside the car. So if you go to New Jerusalem, you don't feel stuffy inside the New Jerusalem. Well, second key is found in 12 foundation stones of New Jerusalem. Foundation stones are the stones which hold up the building. On the wall of New Jerusalem, there are 12 pillars. And there are 12 foundation stones that hold 12 pillars. And each foundation stones carry the names of 12 apostles. I gave you a question in the beginning, right? The names of 12 tribes are written on the gates, but there are 12 gates on New Jerusalem, right? 12 apostles and disciples were sanctified and they were faithful to give up their life for Father God's kingdom. Of course, Judas Iscariot is not one of them. In the first chapter of Acts, new disciple was elected. Matthias was one of them. And there is a special meaning in it. Matthias was selected as a new disciple of the Lord, which means a door to salvation opened to Gentiles. And second, those that Father God chooses all become one of disciples of the Lord. The eight Beatitudes in Matthew, and the spiritual love in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, and the, you know, nine fruits of the Holy Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, they're all contained in the 12 foundation stones. When they are combined all together, it is the heart of the Lord and heart of Father God. And each spiritual heart that represented by 12 stones, when they are combined together, it becomes perfect love. With this love, our Lord completed the law. To have this perfect law, we gotta have faith. We need the sacrifice. We also need passion, faithfulness, mercy, and we gotta have self-control. When all these spiritual hearts got connected and combined together, that becomes perfect love. So, Father God does not make, you know, one foundation stone, but set, you know, 12 foundation stones to hold each and every 12 pillars. If you have this spiritual heart, then you can go to New Jerusalem. In sum, the second key to New Jerusalem is the perfect love. So from now on, I'll tell you the kind of heart that is symbolized by each of 12 foundation stones. I hope that you can use this moment to check what kind of heart you got compared to those stones. First one is jasper. This jasper represents faith. I told you that the material for the crystal, the wall of New Jerusalem is jasper, which is the faith at the fifth level, which can please Father God, spiritual faith. When senior pastor was a novice Christian, when he read the Bible, when he read all the miracles, such as like in stopping the sun and the moon, or dividing the Red Sea, or the destroying the city of Jericho, he believed everything. And then when he went to seminary college, and when he was studying the Bible, he couldn't understand people who was curious about those miracles in the Bible. Without using any fleshly thought, he believed everything in the Bible. And then he could come into spirit quickly. Among testimonies, the senior pastor delivered, he received in the tongue in prayer center, right? Back then, you know, the pastor said, once you come to this prayer center, you gotta receive tongue prayer. If you don't receive in a tongue prayer, even a dog can receive tongue prayer. That's what the pastor said in the prayer center. So if you don't receive tongue prayer, then what means? You're less than a dog, right? That's what he felt. But even that message, he believed it. Of course, I believe that, you know, the pastor was joking that not a dog can receive tongue prayer. However, you know, senior pastor believed it as a spiritual message. So he had a strong wish, desire to receive tongue prayer. So he prayed to God, Father God, I'm less than a dog. I want to receive tongue prayer. So after, and he started to pray after the message. Well, I had the kind of similar feeling. Well, when I was pointed, I called to God, Father God, I'm less than a dog. And then I started to repent once I was pointed. And of course, you know, there was a, the touch message, message of touch. And of course, I received the tongue prayer too. So anyway, he believed everything. If it is the word of God, he believed it and obeyed it. Once he delivered the message, that I was thought to myself that I believed everything too. I believed everything. Why? Because when I read the Bible, when I was a novice Christian, when I was a little child, I never doubted them. I never doubt them.
However, I realized that I couldn't call it faith. If I had truly believed it, the Red Sea was departed. What kind of prayer Moses gave? I should do that. I should follow. Just as they did. I gotta pray. I gotta fast. I gotta live by faith. I gotta obey to the word of God. That's what I should do, right? That's true faith. But without showing such deeds, I just thought to myself that I got faith because I didn't doubt. And I considered it in the faith. I was so naive like that, you know, when I was a young kid. And then later I repented. So spiritual faith is to believe every word of God from the depths of heart. Those with fleshly faith believe only when it is and in accordance with their thoughts. As I said earlier, there is a providence for Father God for this church and a power for this church. You've got to believe it with confidence, without doubt. That's a spiritual faith. However, people use fleshly thoughts and they use, you know, their wisdom, their man wisdom, and they worry about it. If you are one of them, you gotta get rid of those, you know, impurities from your faith. Spiritual faith is to believe what you have believed without changing. In the beginning, you know, those with fleshly faith may confess that they believe, but they do doubt when they are faced with a difficulties of reality. And they give up in the middle. Since those with spiritual faith believe the word of God without changing, you know, this faith is always followed by the deeds of obedience. Now, when can you be think of Moses as with this in the faith? Well, we can think of Abram, the forefather of faith. He showed deeds of true faith all the time. At the age of 75, he received amazing word of blessing from Father God. It was the promise that his descendants will become great nation and he will become the source of blessing. And he left his household and father believing in the word of God. 10 years passed, 20 years passed, he didn't have a son. His wife could not have a baby. Even in this situation, his faith didn't get weak. He just believed in the word of God, the promise of God. He rather showed even greater faith and glorified God. So Romans chapter 4, verses 19 to 21 says, without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as death since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet, with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. And at the age of 100, he got son, just as Father God promised. Brothers and sisters, Father God's will for this church and His promise for this church, the grand sanctuary, the world mission, and His blessing for this church, these will surely come true. However, Father God made the promise. 10, 20, 30 years passed. But we are going through the moment of blessing. In this moment of blessing, not even 10 years passed by. Abraham, 10, 20, 30 years passed. But without faith, without changing, he believed in the word of God and he received answer. We got to show our faith in this moment of blessing, right? One day, there was an incident which proved his faith. Father God told him to give his Isaac as a burnt offering, which was an unimaginable incident. It seemed that Father God would break the promise. However, Abram obeyed right away. He believed the promise of Father God that his descendants would make one nation. So even if he was about to give Isaac as a burnt offering, he believed that Father God would raise him from the dead.
So he said, God said in Genesis 22:12, do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Since he believed in Father God, he obeyed the word of God. That is spiritual faith. Even though the word of God is not in accordance with your thought, even though it seems to be unbeneficial to you, that is true faith. That is true deed. Father God, who is living, will surely show His power to those who show this kind of faith. Father God truly proves that His children's faith is true. Father God knows our heart. He searches our heart and knows our heart. Someone had a dream. He was so seriously sick. He came to prayer center to be healed by Father God's power. He prayed. He attended prayer center meeting and he received the prayer. However, he was not perfectly healed. One day, he had a dream. He received senior pastor's prayer in the dream. Everybody lined up to receive senior pastor's prayer. So he was in the line. And it was his turn. Then senior pastor put his hand on him. Dear Father God, please lay your hand on him. And then he stopped praying. It was strange. Why is he stopping? There was, in his dream, there was a husband who wants to receive prayer together. The wife loves her, his wife. Then the husband heard the mentholation, the smell of a medicine. There was a mentholation applied on her back, a very strong scent. Can you understand what the situation is? You don't grasp? Senior pastor stopped praying. Why did he stop? You know the answer, but you don't say it, right? You don't know? In her dream, senior pastor stopped praying. Well, she didn't show perfect faith. She was depending on the world. She applied medicine on her back. She was depending on the world. She didn't show her faith to Father God. She was depending on the world. She was using worldly method. And then she tried to, you know, receive senior pastor's prayer. So while, you know, senior pastor stopped praying, he couldn't proceed. Because he felt it, that, you know, she didn't come with perfect faith. So he couldn't, you know, keep praying. Our faith, our heart, Father God is searching and He knows it. Father God works according to our faith. The Lord said, put out into the deep water and let down your nets for cats. Peter believed it and obeyed it, and he got great catch. Once he obeyed it, he opened the mouth of a fish, and he found the coin to use as a tax. Spiritual faith can make impossible things possible. So, spiritual faith is the first among the 12 foundation stones. The second foundation stone is sapphire. It is transparent blue. It represents upright and straightforward honesty and integrity. It is the heart of truth itself with which you don't submit to any temptation or threats of the world once you've made up your mind in the truth. Daniel and his three friends are examples of this stone.
He knew that he was about to cast into lion's den, but he didn't change his mind. And Father God was pleased with his faith and his integrity. So he sent angels to close the lion's mouth, and then Daniel was not hurt. And Father God was glorified through Daniel, and Daniel was much loved by the king more, all the more. No, if I keep my faith, Father God will save me. Even if I'm cast into lion's den, Father God will save me. Daniel didn't have such a faith. He didn't have a heart like that. See, if it is the will of God, if it is the providence of Father God, it is the word of God, then I'll just obey. That's the heart of Daniel. And Father God was pleased with it. In chapter 3 of Daniel's, you can see what kind of faith Daniel's three friends got. Daniel's three friends didn't bow down before the idols. They said there is only one God, and he is worthy to receive honor and glory. So they couldn't bow down to idols because it was the commandment of God. They didn't bow down to idols. Since their heart was so such straightforward and upright, they didn't compromise with the world. They knew that they would be, you know, put into burning furnace, but they didn't compromise. They didn't bow down to idols. They rather confessed boldly. As in Daniel chapter 3, verses 17 to 18. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. The dark blue color of sapphire represents this sublime and noble heart that will never forsake the truth even at the threat of one's life. Father God never ignores those who keep their righteousness risking their lives. So Daniel's three friends, even their hair was not hinged. Well, if you make fire to play, when you were kids, I believe you did that. You know, your body smells like flame. We used to put, you know, burning coal inside the empty can, especially rubber shoes. We put it in the can and then we swung it. Did you play it? Or you grew up in the city, so you didn't play it, huh? We used to swing that can with the fire in it during the 15th of January in Lunar New Year. Since we put in the rubber inside, you know, it was burning so widely. We used to enjoy that. But after we play that, our body smelled like fire. And we surely could find that our, you know, clothes were burned. Or our hair got hinged a little bit. We had that kind of experience. However, Daniel's three friends were put into blazing furnace. Their hair was not hinged at all. They were perfectly protected. But because of time given, I have to stop here. Now, from the third foundation stone, I will continue, okay? Before the conclusion, let me show you something. Do you see the pillars? In 2003, I went to a pilgrimage trip. Thanks to Mrs. Bonlin Lee. That's the remains of Philadelphia Church, which is located in Turkey.
We visited a couple of remains of the seven churches. That's the remains of the Philadelphia church. They are the pillars. Only those in the pillars are left. Philadelphia church was, you know, received in the praise by the Lord that kept faith, and Philadelphia church was blessed, and they will become the pillars of God's temple, that they received such a, you know, blessing. Don't we have more? Yeah. That picture is the the pillar of Philadelphia church. I was impressed. I thought about, I mean, as I looked at the pillar, just as, you know, Father got blessed, He blessed those members of the Philadelphia church that they would be the pillars of the God's temple, right? That pillar was only left, and that pillar was so big and huge and thick, strong. So I asked those who went to the pilgrimage trip to circle the pillar. You see the one side of the pillar? One, two, three, four. So there will be about like about 16 people had to surround, it had to, in a circle around that in a pillar. It was so big. It was very impressive. Father God blessed the Philadelphia church. And that pillar was very impressive. We got to have that kind of, you know, wish, the New Jerusalem. Manmin wants to, Father God wants to bless Manmin. Let me conclude this message. Brothers and sisters, we are Manmin. Father God Himself named this church, and Father God wants to save countless souls through Manmin. He wants to win victory at the end of human cultivation, lead countless souls to New Jerusalem. For that, Father God does not stop working. He is worthy to receive glory. And Father God wants to receive glory through Manmin. And He will receive the glory through Manmin. Brothers and sisters, you and I should remember why our senior pastor is going such a way. We have to put it in our heart. He does that to make us the fruit of New Jerusalem's glory. To come out as such fruit of glory, we should cultivate the hearts of the 12 foundation stones of New Jerusalem. May you enter New Jerusalem with that key and enjoy the glory forever and ever. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centuries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. heal them of all kinds of cancers like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes and the deaf come to hear and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces, and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits, and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness, and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer, and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.